I like that song.
Amen.
I don't Amen. Believe I've ever heard it before. If you've got a Bible, why don't you open it to Genesis chapter 1.
Amen.
I'll try to get wired up. Genesis chapter 1. There was a quotation I heard many years ago, maybe when I was a young preacher, 55 years ago or so. And, excuse me, I'm going to be coughing a little bit, I'm afraid. I'm trying not to. And it was stated that if you could believe the first four words of this book, you could believe anything else in it. In the beginning, God.
Amen.
There you go. Doesn't get much simpler than that, does it?
Amen.
You know, I taught English and history over, I taught 20 years over a span of 30 years while I was preaching. I've been preaching 55 years straight. And we used to think that I wanted to help kids read. No matter what I was doing, it was reading and writing that I thought were two of the most important things. And what I tried to do is teach. And one of the things you learn is when you're studying reading from a lot of different people or authors is sometimes the author has his pattern that the first sentence in a paragraph, that's your main sentence. It's going to tell you the whole thing and the rest is going to fill it out. Sometimes it's the last. Well, right here, we got the greatest book ever written.
Amen.
The most published book ever written. And the first sentence says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, you know our weakness, our sins, our failures. You know us, and yet you love us.
Amen.
Thank you. I do pray, Father, that you will give me a freedom and an ease to preach your word, teach your word, as you would have it done, that your Holy Spirit would bless it, you'd touch hearts and lives in this room, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the beginning, God. Now, there's been recently on TV, they've had a bunch of stories about the Bible, and it's being revived again and whatever. And maybe some people will be encouraged to read the book. Because when Hollywood gets a hold of the Bible, they change it. And they change it in some of the stupidest ways I have ever heard. The greatest stories in the world, and some idiot out of Hollywood thinks he can make a better story. And sometimes the things they change, why? I mean, it doesn't make any more sex or violence or anything else that draws people to watch. Why? Here you've got the greatest book ever written. I just wanted to talk a little bit today about God. You see, I think in the beginning, God, I believe that's the subject of the book. Oh, you can learn a lot of things. You can learn God's commandments. You can learn God's habits. You can learn what God likes. The book is about God. Now, I've been told that it's a book of the history of mankind. And that's true. I've been told it's the history of the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham. That's true. I told it's for introducing the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise God, that's true. But let me tell you something. As I look at this book, and I've studied it, I don't read like I used to read. I really don't. I can't. I guess I'm getting old, something like that. But whatever. I read a lot. You see, I grew up without television. We got a television when I was 16 years old, so by the time I was 7, I was riding the bus to town to the public library, the old building with the big lions in front of it. I think it's a circus museum now. Got libraries all over the place. Well, they didn't have that many that I knew about back in my day, so I read books. This is a book about God. You need to know about God.
Amen.
Hey, it's got some great and wonderful stories. I love to preach them. Hey, it's got some moral truth. It's got some wisdom that, man, if you could just have the wisdom that's in this book to give you knowledge on how you make your decisions and what you build your life on, what a blessing it would be to you. But it's about God. And when I looked at that, I thought, wow, what a beginning sentence. In the beginning, God. You don't know about God? I thought about, and God is such a big subject. There are volumes of books written trying to describe the different parts of the character of God, called systematic theology. And they're huge and they're tremendous, and wow, they'll use some big words that you'll have to use a dictionary to find out what they mean. I just want to talk to you about three things this morning. Three things that I think should change your life. Three things that change my life. All I have to do is think about them. And it changes my life. This book was written so that you would know what God is like. Now, God is just too big to describe even in this book. What a wonderful thing that He gave us this book that simplifies, clarifies, examples to show what God loves and what God hates and what God is like.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I need to know that.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Now, I would say that all of us in here believe in God. I would say that if I went across America, 70% of the people say they believe in God.
All right.
Maybe more. But what kind of a God? What do you believe about God? What kind of God are you serving? Are you serving one of those that's made out of gold or made out of silver? Are you praying to somebody on your dash of the car? Or what kind of God do you have? Do you have a God that just lets you get away with everything? Do you have a God that's so strict that nobody can please Him? Do you have a God of hate? Do you have a God of war? Do you have a God of love and compassion? Well, what you believe about God makes a difference.
Amen.
Now, one of the first things that I want to point out that I believe about God, and I believe the Bible is very clear, and there are hundreds or even thousands of verses, and there are many, many books written to show it, is the omnipresence of God. He's ever present. Ever present. Look, if you will, at a verse in Psalms 139. My, but this would change your life. I know it would. If you would think of this every day, if it would come to your mind, my God is here. Wherever you are. Look what David said. Verse 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Wow. Where are you going to get away from God? You know, a lot of people run from God, get mad at God, hate God, fight God. Where are you going to go? You're going to quit your job, quit your family, go drop off the deep end, join the French Foreign Legion. You think you're going to get away from God? You're not going to get away from God.
Amen.
God is in your home every morning. God is in your home every night. God is there in presence wherever you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Wherever you are. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Where am I going to go from your spirit? Where can I go to get away from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Look at another verse. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?
Amen.
Can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Now these are just four verses out of two passages of Scripture to describe that God is always present with you. You're never alone. You're never alone. Think about that. What a mighty thing that is. That ought to take away a whole lot of fear. That ought to take away a whole lot of concern that you have and the times you spend nights worrying over different things that you have to face or that have come into your life or the tragedies that have come there. God's with you. He has not deserted you. He has not left you. The heavens are not stone. They are open and present wherever you are. As a child of God, in the new covenant, not the old covenant, in the new covenant, God is with you,
Amen.
Born again child of God,
Amen.
Every day, every night, through every disaster, through every sickness, through every trouble that what you've got. You're never far away from your Heavenly Father. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a great truth about God to be sure of. Are you? I am sure of it. I know, even when I was lost, I always believed God. This great big being put this thing in existence. Evolution never made any sense to me at all. I was a complete evolutionary rejecter when I was in high school. No. This didn't just happen.
Amen.
There is a God that is out there, and He's with me.
Amen.
I knew I couldn't get away from God. Now, I ignored it many, many days. And it's a shame, but I ignore it days right now. I get up and I go about my business and I do my work and all of these things. And I forget God's riding in the car with me. I forget God in every conversation I have. I forget that God is there when I get mad.
Amen.
But He is. He is ever present. Now that's just one of the aspects of God, but it's a tremendous thing. And it ought to change your life. That ought to be a life changer. God is with me. That ought to be an encouragement. That ought to be a point of fear. Wow. What am I doing while I'm standing here in the presence of God when He's listening to every word I say, looking at the motives of my heart and my foolish wickedness, my foolish stubborn anger, my impatience, my sinfulness, my lust. Oh, man. God's with me every day. And my dear friend, you're born again, God's with you every day.
Amen.
My dear lost friend, you're here and you're not saved, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. God sees everything you do. He has every thought that you ever thought in His mind. He knows it all. God is ever present. Now, that's just one thing, but that's one. I think of the biggest things that I can think about, this book teaches you about God, and it does it in hundreds, maybe thousands of verses. God is not a God at a distance. I'm not praying past the North Star. I'm praying right here. Right in this room. God is here. Ever present. There's another thing about God that I think that is just so tremendous. And that He's so smart. His omniscience. All knowing. And He understands. I was reading a book the other day by a nutritionist, a doctor who's a nutritionist, supposed to help diabetics out. I've read a lot of books on a lot of things, and I've read a lot of books on diabetes since I had it for 25 years. And he made a statement in there that each one of my cells in my body had this 100,000 trillion things in it. Wow. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm telling you what. I get amazed at the heavens, the universe, our solar system, all those stars, and many of those things we think are stars are actually other universes. So many stars out there. Wow. God understands it all. You come down here, do you know what? We know more about space than we know about our ocean. We've gone further into space than we've gone in our ocean. I've seen some pictures of little things that are alive and wiggling that I didn't know existed. You ever seen some of them? Some of them are ugly as homemade sin. Ugly. Some of them are absolutely beautiful. The bright colors and everything. They tell me that the Amazon forest is being reaped for all of its lumber and gifts of other things like that, but that we're losing insects we don't even know exist. We don't know what they could save us from. God is all-knowing. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows everything.
Amen.
He knows everything about you.
Amen.
That ought to scare the living daylights out of some of you.
Yeah, amen.
It ought to scare you. There ought to be some fear, or there ought to be some praise, and maybe a little of both, to know that God is all-knowing.
Amen.
There's not anything He doesn't understand. He understands my motives. He understands what's the hidden things in my heart that I don't even understand about
Amen.
Me. He understands. How about a verse of Scripture? Psalm 147, verse 4 and 5. How big is your God? This God that is with you every day, every night, 24 hours a day, for 70 to 100 years. How great is your God? Well, look at Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power His understanding is infinite.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know, these are just a couple of verses I'm reading to you. I'm not giving you... There are thousands of them on this one subject. On God knowing so much and God understanding so much. He tells us the number of the stars. Our greatest scientists can't do that. With the Hubble telescope, they can't do that. We can send one out there, send it on a spaceship and drop it out 100 million miles, light years away, and we still won't find the end. And God knows them all. He knows them. There are no surprises out there for Him. Well, there are surprises for me. I was pastoring a church in West Texas. One of my faithful members was a dairy farmer. He got up at 2:30 every morning to milk cows. And then he would take a nap in the afternoon and get up late at night to milk those same cows. I decided I never wanted to be a dairy farmer. That was 7 days a week. Do you know what he'd done? He had built himself a 9-inch telescope. He ground the lens himself. He built the pipe and the frame, everything. And I went out one time with him about 2 o'clock in the morning. You ever seen the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper? You seen that little crook in the Little Dipper's handle? That star, which is that crook. Looks like one star, doesn't it? It's twin stars. On that telescope that morning, I saw those two stars just separate from each other. Wow. Some of those stars you look out there, they're galaxies like the Milky Way, and bigger than the Milky Way. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. Great is our Lord, and of great power His understanding is infinite. My understanding is very limited. And the longer I live, the more limited I think it is. My understanding of God is limited. I realize how dumb I am. I know the Bible. I've probably read it more than most people that have ever lived. I've studied it. I've labored over that thing. Oh, there's some things in there I don't have a clue about. I wouldn't try to teach on it because I don't even understand it. What I do understand blows my mind. I'm fascinated by our generation. I think you and I, we live in one of the most fascinating generations any people have ever lived in. Those little cell phones you got in your pocket, I don't have one, but they amaze me. I don't want to go to the trouble to learn it, to tell you the truth. When I pick up a phone, I don't want a camera or a computer. I just want a phone. I'm a little simple that way. But God understands it all. How many more things are passing through this room right now besides all of those television and radio waves? Huh? That we don't know anything about yet. I heard them on the TV talking about how all the ice is melting and that Greenland's going to melt and lift the ocean to where it's going to wipe out some of the cities that are low down close to the sea level. And I was thinking, should I be worried? Should I be worried? And they said, yeah, it might happen at 500 years or maybe 2,000 years. I thought, what are you telling me this for? Why am I worried about that? That's another thing I'm supposed to go to sleep worrying about? No, I got maybe a day or two more or 10 years more, whatever. What am I worried about if it's going to make 500 years? That's going to be my great, 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 great grandchildren. If they make it that long. And then they'll just have to learn to live at a higher level. Do you understand me?
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of other verses. Matthew 10:29. Same subject, God being all-knowing. He actually understands it all. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Pretty cheap. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Oh, you've been bird hunting lately? You didn't even get that bird unless God let you. Two sparrows fall on the ground and one doesn't fall without your father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. He's been changing mine daily. Yours too. You ladies with all that beautiful hair, look inside your vacuum cleaner. That's all you got to do. I clean out the vacuum cleaner and reuse the little things, you know, with my air hose. Cheap. No, just depression kid. He knows the number of your hairs. Who knows the number? Who would count your hairs? It's an expression of the knowledge of God. There's not anything He doesn't understand. He's never caught by surprise.
Amen.
He knows your problems. He knows your needs. He knows what you face. He knows every tragedy you're going to face. And bless your heart, He knows Job. And I don't think anybody in this room has ever been hit like Job.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I'm thanking you, Lord, I'm not a cousin to Job. A few times I thought I was, at least second or third cousin, but not really. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Can you imagine how much God knows if He knows the number of the stars and the hairs
Amen.
Of your head? And there are thousands. I'm telling you, the whole book is trying to get you to understand God. This whole book wants you to know God as He is, as best you can, so that you can trust Him and believe in Him. And by the way, even if you say you're lost and you don't believe in Him, He's still your God.
All right. Amen.
Doesn't change a thing at all. You don't like the kind of God you've read about? Doesn't make much difference. You can't do anything about it, can you?
All right. Amen.
If God were a bad God, what would you do?
All right.
Don't be ridiculous. Just be thankful that God's a good God.
Amen.
Oh, His knowledge knows everything. I know so little. I've been well educated. I'm an old man. I've done a lot of things. Some of the things that I did before, I'm afraid to do now. But, wow, God knows everything. No secrets. You might hide them from your friend. You might hide them from your husband or your wife. You might hide them from the preacher. You might hide them from the deacon or the Sunday school teacher. You might hide them from the car salesman. You can't hide from God. He knows everything about you, so why not confess?
Amen.
You're not confessing because you're going to tell God something He doesn't know.
Amen. That's right.
You're acknowledging with God, God, I see how I am.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
I stand before You, perfect, all-knowing, ever-present, always with me, and I see how I am. I see how I am. Oh, there's a whole lot of us in here that don't see how we are very often. We go around judging other people.
Guilty. All right.
We go around making, I've made judgments just on the look of a face.
Amen.
Can you do that? I can do that. I can just look at that face. That's an adulterer. That's a sorry rascal. That's a thief. And especially when I see some kids with their hair all messed up and their pants doesn't reach their butt. And they got paint and they're spraying on somebody's building. Ooh, I'd want to take them out behind the woodshed with a baseball bat. Ooh, and some of their mothers tell them, that's art. Okay, paint your own house. There's a third thing I'd like to speak about God today. Sorry, something happened to one of my shoulders. Omnipotence. All powerful. Now, these are just three simple attributes of our God. He's ever present. He's all knowing. He is all powerful. Do you really think that this earth, this blue ball floating through space, by the way, the only one our scientists have ever encountered like it. It's unique. Do you really think this is an accident? I mean, just the tilt of the axis makes a difference. Just the distance from the sun and the moon makes a difference. Just the thickness of the atmosphere makes a difference. Just the presence of drinking water, which is a small percentage of the water of the earth, makes a difference.
Thank you, Lord.
And just the food that's grown on this place is what we live by. Accident? You got too many variables. You go down on the inside of any of those things, and we've done that. We've got these guys like Pfister Corn, family nearly starving as he's trying to produce this good resistant corn. All of them sitting, his seed that he's going to make that resisted the drought and resisted the bugs. And his family's hungry, and he's saving that seed. He's not going to eat that corn over this winter. And he has a quotation. On the banks of hesitation. I can't quote it. He holds himself to produce this stuff. And he carries through the winter. And he comes down and plants them the next year. And Pfister Corn's gone through I don't know how many generations. Some of the greatest corn ever produced. Because he had a vision. He knew. He understood some of the things God did with corn and how it was pollinated. And some had resistance to drought, resistance to bugs, resistance to diseases. And it would grow and produce. They learned that. God knew it all along. This great big God, He's all powerful. Look at Isaiah 44:24. Isaiah 44:24. Oh, I'll tell you what, I think the power of God is very clearly seen in this scripture. You need scriptures, all these scriptures, thousands of them. Hundreds of stories, greatest stories ever told. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He didn't need anybody's help.
Amen.
When I got to do some things, all of my life, I was a working man. I was a jack of all trades. I was taught by my daddy, who was a real Depression man. I was born in the middle of the Depression. He was not looking for another child, I want you to understand. But I was welcomed and loved. Thank the Lord. But I had my daddy to help me. He loved to fix things. He was a fixer. He loved to fix things. That was his pleasure. And then I had a brother-in-law. You know what brother-in-laws are good for? Well, actually, this brother-in-law was pretty good for a lot of things. Air conditioning, carpentry, roofing. He worked as long as he could. He finally got old. Well, now that I've got a son, he knows how to fix things. I've been helped by a lot of people. Oh, I'm thankful for the help I've received. I'm thankful for somebody that knows something about something I don't know. I'm thankful for somebody who can do something about it that I can't do. I'm thankful for the help that I can get. God didn't need anybody.
Amen.
He doesn't need you. He does not need me. He didn't need anybody. He didn't have to use an angel. All he had to do was speak it into existence.
Amen.
That's the power of God.
Amen.
He stretched out the heavens alone. That's what that Bible says. I don't care what some dingbat scientist says. All they know is a little bit about a little bit. And we think of them great and wise, and they are smarter than us. And yes, they have produced some wonderful things. And I am thankful for everything they teach me, because every time I read about taking one cell of my body and being able to reduce, replace me, clone me, that's amazing. All that knowledge is in one little cell. I can't see a cell. Can you see a cell? I can't see a cell. That's what they tell me. They tell me that I am full of living organisms, and you are too. Why you get sick is there's a war going on between some of those organisms inside your belly. And they're there by the millions. And I don't know how many. And then this guy comes up this week and I read and he says, 100,000 trillion, one cell. Wow. You're not impressed by God? God doesn't impress you? Everything I learn about Him impresses me more.
Amen.
I'm more impressed now than I ever was. Do I think I know a whole lot about God? No, I don't. I don't know near enough. I know three things that are such a great blessing to me. God is all-powerful.
Amen.
The universe testifies to it. The world testifies to it. Life, living organisms, that meat machine you're walking
Amen.
Around
in. Thank you, Lord.
Testifies
Amen.
To the almighty power of God. Wow. He's all-powerful. One more verse. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, 1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, I am the Almighty God. What are you going to say about that?
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hey, how are you going to resist that?
Yes.
Now I know, when you're real young and you've never really been in a good fight, you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Have you ever been beat up?
Yeah.
Oh, I have. One night I dated a girl that... A guy 2 years older than me thought it was his girl. And he caught me at the root beer stand. And so we went down a block to have a fight. And I knew I was in trouble. I hit him first. I was aiming right for his nose. I hit his teeth. Actually, I carried the scars for years. I can't find them anymore. And then he beat the snot out of me. When I woke up the next morning, my mother was coming to the bed, and she asked me which gang it was that had beat up on me that night. You ever lost a fight? I've lost a fight. I won a few, but I lost a few. You're going to fight God? How foolish can you be?
Amen.
I mean, when God speaks to you in a meeting, when God says something to you about your sin, God says something to you about your attitude, you're going to fight God?
All right. Amen.
Why would you even consider it? Stupidity. We're all infected with stupidity.
Uh-huh.
Some of us more than others, we understand. A God that is everywhere, at all times, a God that knows everything about everything at all times, and a God that is almighty. To me, it just makes sense, saved or lost, bow before Him and praise Him.
Amen. Amen.
Are you so absolutely stupid like some of these kids riding around with their cars and they say, no fear. No fear. You ought to fear.
Amen. Have mercy on
you. You ought to fear God.
Amen.
And you ought to praise God and serve Him.
Amen.
What kind of fool would you be not to fear God and serve Him if you just simply believe these three simple statements about the character of God? My God's big. Oh, He's mighty and powerful.
Amen.
He knows the end from the beginning. He's got all the hairs on your head numbered.
Amen.
You can't shoot a sparrow down. You can't shoot a squirrel down that He doesn't notice it and allow it. And about you, I think I'd bow before Him every morning.
Amen.
And every night. I think I'd bow before Him for the rest of my life. I think I would ask, what does God think? Before I ask what you think.
Amen, amen, amen.
He is ever present. He knows all things. And He is all powerful. And let me tell you one other thing. He loves you.
Amen.
What a blessing. Can you imagine that? If I knew all about you, that even you know about you, I probably wouldn't love you. Isn't that right?
All right. Yep.
But He loves you.
Thank you, Lord.
Billy was talking about the dispensations, and they're true. You'll not understand your Bible correctly unless you cover some of the dispensations and realize. And the number one biggest one is the New Testament. I live in the New Testament.
Amen.
My sins are gone. They're washed in the blood
Amen.
Of the Lamb. He's already died, been buried, and rose again.
Thank you,
and He brought a gospel to me that saved my soul and changed my life.
Thank you, Lord.
What kind of God is that?
Amen.
That's a God of love.
Amen.
There's a lot more about God. That's why the book was written. In the beginning, God.
Amen.
Stand and sing just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.